Okay, so we're going to be teaching today. We're talking on divine secrets of the productive life. We started off talking about barrenness is not God's plan, or it's an unacceptable state. We talked about fruitfulness. And then last week, we talked about the law of the seed. Naomi's going to come later and tell you how you can get this online. But tonight, we're going to begin to look at the first secret of productivity. Mark chapter 4. Say Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 is the most important. Oh, you're running my clock. I'm talking. No, I'm to put start. No. No, no, no. Start that clock back over. No. No, no. No, no. I want all my time. Go back. Go back. I'm just talking now. This is the introduction, right? This is the introduction. Okay. I ain't joking. Start my clock back. Oh, okay, 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 okay. And I'll let you know when we get started. Okay. Mark chapter 4, every one of you, I want you to read Mark chapter 4, read it once a week. Before you come to Bible study, I want you to read it. Mark chapter 4, give you a little test. How many read it? Oh, that's pretty good. How many have studied it? Oh, that ain't so good. How many made notes on it? He's the head of the class right there. Okay, Mark chapter 4, and I want you to tell me at the end of it, do you agree? Okay. Mark chapter 4 is the most important chapter in the whole Bible for the believer. How many are Christians? Amen. Okay, it is the most important chapter in all of the Bible. The most important chapter in the whole Bible. You have to know it. So I want you to study it. I want you to meditate on it. Now, every week, we're going to give you another secret. So we're getting ready to get into it now. We're going to get into it. Now, there are 9 secrets in Mark chapter 4 of productivity, living a productive life. Later, I'll tell you why I say it's the most important, but I can't give my secret away yet. But it's the most important. You got to understand and read Mark chapter 4. So your homework assignment for next Wednesday is what?
Mark.
Everybody's going to read what?
Mark chapter 4.
Mark chapter 4. Okay, you ready to get started?
Yes, sir.
Say this, the word of God,
is
the answer.
Yes.
Make it personal. The
word of God
is the answer for me.
Answer for
look
me.
At your neighbor. Say the word of God
is
the answer for you. Amen. Okay, let's get started. We're going to talk about 9 secrets of productivity out of Mark chapter 4. Now listen, listen, let's put Luke, let's get our scriptures out first. Let's get a scripture. Turn to Luke, look at Luke chapter 8. You can mark these down. It's recorded. You can get it later. Now notice what it says. It says, now this is Luke chapter 8. Mark, the parable of the sower is found in Luke 8. Matthew 13 and Mark 4. We're going to spend most of our time in Mark chapter 4. So Luke chapter 8, this is very important. It says the parable is this. So he's telling us what this parable is all about. The parable is this. The seed is what?
The
seed is the word of God. Now let's look at Mark chapter 4 and let's begin to look at let's go up to verse 3. And let's begin to look at the natural illustration. What Jesus does is he gives a natural illustration. He says a farmer went out and he sowed seed. And the seed fell on 4 different kinds of soil. Only one soil produced a harvest. So let's see what the word says. It says, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Mark verse 4, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air, the birds came and devoured it up. Verse 5, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Verse 6, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7, some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit. Verse 8, and other fell on good ground. Come on, say, that's me.
That's me.
See, we're good ground. Fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now, in the verses 3 through verse 8, he tells a natural illustration, okay? Jesus would often tell stories that we call parables, a natural illustration to communicate something spiritual. So there's something spiritual that he's teaching us, but he don't want to start off with the spiritual. He want to start off with something that we can identify. And most people, even though we're not in a farming society, agrarian society, most people can understand a seed. You put the seed in the ground and it will burst open, it will germinate, and it produce a crop. But it has to be put in good ground for that to happen. When you get down to verse 14 and verse 15, he begins to interpret the parable for us. So let's look there. It says, the sower soweth the word. So this seed business is about the word. It's about the word. It's about the word. And we wanna understand, why did God give us the Bible? I mean, you know, Pastor said, well, you need to read the Bible at least 4 days a week. Why do we need to read the Bible? Isn't this an old book? I mean, we're in a new time. Why do we need to read the Bible? Well, the scripture says, the sower soweth what? The sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. Look at verse 15. Now watch this. This is as far as we're going to get. Far as we're going to get today. He says, and these are they by the wayside. This is the first ground that the seed fell on. The wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard. Now look at, emphasize, Satan cometh. Come on, say Satan cometh. Satan cometh immediately to do what? To take away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, in Mark chapter 4, there are 9 keys. And we're gonna get into each one of them. But tonight, we're gonna get into the first key. But before we look at that first key, let me make a couple of statements. Listen very carefully. Listen very carefully to this. We Christians, all of us, are engaged in a spiritual war. We're all engaged in a spiritual war. Most Christians live their life as though they're in peacetime. We're not in peacetime, okay? The moment you invited Jesus into your heart, you became an enemy of Satan. You sided with God, and the scripture teaches us that we're in warfare. Okay, the Bible says over in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, 11, and 12, it says, put on the whole armor of God so that you'll be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against, we're not wrestling against people, but we're wrestling against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heaven place. So right there, we see that we're in spiritual warfare. 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 down through verse 4, it says, endure hardness as a good soldier. Come on, say, I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier. So the moment you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, whether you realize it or not, you stepped into a wartime. We're in a war with an enemy who wants to destroy your life. Yes. He wants to destroy. He don't care whether you're a child or whether you're a teenager, or whether you're adult. The moment you say, Jesus is the Lord, I'm born again, I'm a Christian, I'm going with God, he wants to destroy your life. Now, that's something that you have to understand, precious people. You have to understand that when you got saved, something happened spiritually. You are in war. Now, here is the first key or the first secret of productivity, living a productive life. And that key is understanding the true nature of spiritual warfare. Understanding the true nature of this spiritual warfare. Well, you said we're in a war. You know what I mean? We're in a war, and I don't see anybody. I mean, I don't see anybody. No bullets coming my way. Okay, they are. You just don't know it. Yeah. They are coming your way. Okay? So the first secret to productivity is to understand the nature of it. What kind of war is it? What is it all about? Okay, we got to get that down. We can't be productive if we don't understand that first secret to productivity. Now, we're going to answer 3 questions tonight. Just 3 questions. What is spiritual warfare? What is it? What is it? Why and how?
What, why, how? What, why, how? What, why, how? What, why, how? What, why, how? Now, I want you to look at that verse and let's answer the first what. What is spiritual warfare? I want you to look at this verse here. It says, these are they by the wayside. Well, look at it. Where the word is sown, not, but when they have heard. Now, look at these words. Satan cometh immediately to take away what?
The word.
He come to do what?
Take away the word.
He come to do what?
Take away the word.
Okay, he couldn't stop you from getting saved. Once you made a decision to get saved, he could not stop you from getting saved. Now he has to stop you from being productive. Because if you're not productive, you're really technically are no different than an unsaved person. So now, what is his strategy? What is spiritual warfare? Here's what spiritual warfare is. Listen at this. Now, you may not get everything, but you're going to get some of this. Watch this. Spiritual warfare is this. Satan's organized, purposeful, strategic plan to separate believers from the word. It is his organized, purposeful, strategic plan to separate believers from the word. Now, you may have an iPhone, you may have an iPad, whatever you got. Okay, that's the word, okay? Now watch this, watch this. Warfare, and I'm the devil, and this is the believer. He's the believer. That's you right there. You're the believer. Stand out here. You're the believer, and I'm Satan. Now watch this. Stand up there and look. I gotta separate you from that. Because if I can separate you from that, you ain't no match for me. Now, you may go to heaven when you die, and I can't stop you from going to heaven, but you ain't gonna live victory in this life. So the bottom line on you, I don't care whether you go to heaven or not. I want to run this. I want to run planet Earth. I ain't running heaven. So you want to die and go to heaven? Fine, you're just out of my way. So I got to stop you from being productive as a Christian. Couldn't stop you from getting saved, so I got to stop you from being productive as a Christian. So I've got to, my plan, and I got all my demons. We organized. We done set up meetings. We got a strategy. All my demons all over, we have meetings about you. We discuss how we are organized.
Okay.
We are organized. Principalities know what they're going to do. Rulers of the darkness know what they're going to do. Spiritual wickedness, we are organized. You just walking around.
Right.
But we are organized. And everybody know that our assignment is to take the word from you. Now you're saved and you love Jesus and you can have all the parties you want to have. You can go to church and you can dance, you can do everything you want to, but you ain't no match for me. Because now you have to deal with me without that. And guess what? Jesus couldn't do it without that. Every time the devil came to Jesus in the wilderness and tempted him, Jesus said, it is written. It is written. It is written. And then the Bible said the devil left him. Why? Because Jesus knew to stand against the devil, he had to have the word of God. So once I separate you from that, you ain't no match for me. You can be, I push you around. I do what I want to do. I come in your life. I can snatch your health. I can snatch your money. I can do whatever I want. I just push you all around. You are no match for me. Christians are no match for the devil without the word.
Amen.
See what this Bible says? So he comes to take away the word. The word. The word, this
This is why I'm telling you, you got to study this. No matter what member church you're a member of, no matter who your pastor is, no matter how religious you are, if you don't know this, you're not going to live a productive life. I'm going to whip your tail. You know what tail mean? Behind. I'm going to kick your behind. That's the first divine secret. You must understand the nature of the warfare. The nature of the warfare is that I got to separate you from this. Got it? How am I going to understand that?
Amen.
Okay, now, once you know that, and you inform, and see, if you sit under me, I'm going to teach you. And I'm telling you, Deb going to hate you when you get up in the morning. Because you're going to know something. Now, when you start understanding the nature of the spiritual warfare, and he start... See, now he is an informed believer.
Okay.
He understands the importance of this, and he understands me. Right. He knows that in order for me to defeat him, I got to separate him. So now he got a quiet time. He in church. He going to hear the word. He don't miss him. Bible study. He don't miss. He's spending time in that word. Why? Because he understands the nature of the warfare. How many got some out of that? Okay. Now, thank you. Let's talk. We know what the warfare is. It's Satan's organized, purpose, strategic plan to separate believers from the word. Okay, now let's talk about why. Let's answer the why question. Put up Second Peter. Let's talk about why Satan wants to separate you from the word. Now watch this. 2 Peter 1:4, here's what it says. Whereby are given to us, Christians, exceeding great and precious what? Promises. In the word, they are promises. Watch this. That by these promises, we may be what? Partakers of two things. Two things. Partakers of the divine nature. And do what? Escape the corruption that's in the world. So there are two things that the reason God gives you the Bible is because he's put promises in this Bible. And these promises cover everything you'll ever need in life. Whether you are a child or whether you are a teenager, whether you're a college student, you got needs. Everything you need is in the word, okay? If you will understand that, you can partake of God's nature. God's nature is abundance. Everything you need, God got it. Abundance. No matter where you're starting off right now, he has what? Abundance for you, okay? Not only will you partake of God's nature, then you will escape the corruption that is in the world. Now, you have to understand this. God has always desired that there be a difference between his people and the people in the world. Now, I don't have a whole lot of time to deal with that, but I want to say this. Remember when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt? There was a difference. His people were in Goshen, and the Egyptians were in another area. All the plagues and everything that came on the Egyptians. But the Bible says that there was a difference between God's people. God intends for, now he's not going to take away problems, and we're going to talk about that next week, okay? But he wants you to escape.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Got it? So what everybody is going through, you're going to go through some things.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about getting the word and you ain't going to have no problems, okay? But he wants you to do what?
Escape.
So he wants you to get out of it, okay? No matter what comes, God wants you to win. He wants you to escape. Got that? Okay. So now watch this. Why does Satan want to separate the word, you from the word? It's because every person has, hold your finger up, five. Every person has five basic needs. Whether you're black, white, red, yellow, brown, rich, poor, whether you're an American, outside of American, regardless to where you, who you are, where you live, we all have five basic needs. Five basic needs. Spiritual, mental and emotional, physical, social, financial. There are no other needs that you'll have fall outside of those five. Now, what I want to show you is that the word is connected to all five of them.
Amen.
Got it? Put the first text up there. Watch this. Spiritual life. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire what?
The sincere milk of the
word. The sincere milk of the
word.
Why? Whenever you see a that in a verse, put an S-O in front of it. So that what? Spiritual growth. How many of you want to grow as a Christian? You don't just want to be saved, you want to grow. Well, spiritual growth is connected to the word. How many see that?
Amen.
Put the next verse up there. Put the next verse up there. Isaiah 50:26-3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect
peace
whose
mind
is stayed on.
Peace.
Watch this. Thou wilt keep him in perfect
peace.
Perfect
peace.
Perfect
peace.
That's wholeness.
Yes.
That's wholeness in your mental life. Peace in your mental life, wholeness, soundness in your mental life, free from depression, free from worry, free from suicidal thoughts, free from all the attacks that will come against your mind. Thou will have perfect peace if we'll keep our mind stayed on him. So your mental well-being is connected to the word. Put the next scripture up there. Proverbs 4:20-22 says, verse 20, my son, attend to my
words.
Incline thy ear to my
sayings.
Let them, my words, not depart from your minds. Keep them in the mystery of your heart. Look at verse, for they are unto those that find them in
health.
So the word will bring health to my body.
Yes.
So I grow through the word spiritually. I have good mental health through the word, health in my body through the word. Put the next verse up there. Psalms 112:1-3 says, praise ye the Lord, blesses the man. Say, I'm blessed. Blesses the man that feareth the Lord, that what? Delight greatly in his. Delight greatly in his. Delight greatly in his. Delight greatly in his. What will happen? Verse 2, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation upright shall be what? Wealth and riches shall be in his house. That's your financial material well-being. But notice it's connected to delighting greatly in the word. So your material well-being is connected to the word. Put the next verse up there. Now watch this. Socially, we have needs, right? Whether it's a single person having a need in their family for relationships or friendships or boyfriends or girlfriends, whatever it is, or a married person having good relationships, married a relationship, we all need good, healthy relationships. Socially, watch this. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his that walketh in his, what'll happen? What'll happen? For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hand. Happy, 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 happy. Anybody want to be happy, 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 happy shall thou be? It shall be well with thee. Watch this relationship. Your wife shall be fruitful, like a fruitful vine by the side of your house, and your children like olive plant. Now notice that's your relationships. God says if you'll follow his word, he said he'll bless your relationships. Amen. Any single people here? Okay, got some single people. I know you want a boyfriend or girlfriend. You know you want somebody. Don't be talking about, I don't want nobody. Yes, you do. You want somebody. And watch this. God wants you to have somebody. He wants you to. But he said you got to walk in his ways. Now, look at what we've discovered. We discovered that God gives us promises to cover all five of our needs. Spiritual growth is connected to the word. Mental health is connected to the word. Physical health is connected to the word. Material prosperity is connected to the word. Social well-being is connected to the word. So we can see why the devil want to take you from the word. That's why he wants you to watch television all the time and be on Facebook all the time and never spend time in the word. He don't care. He doesn't care. Whatever you do, we're going to talk about that too. We're going to talk about that too. He don't care. He just don't want you to spend time in the word. Don't want you to spend time in the word. Because he don't want you to be happy. See, he don't want you to be happy. God wants you to be happy, but the devil doesn't want you to be happy, so he has to separate you from the word. Another reason, we're talking about why he wants to separate you from the word. The second reason is because faith comes by. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by, and hearing by the word. Now watch this. Faith in God comes by hearing. Have faith in God. You can't have faith in God without hearing. Watch this. Faith to stand against the devil. The Bible said, take the shield of faith. Yes. Wherewith you shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Mm-hmm. You can't stand against the devil without faith. Faith comes by hearing. Yes. Watch this. Faith to overcome the challenges of the world. 1 John 5:4 said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. See, to overcome the challenges of the world. You can't even get saved without faith, for by grace are you saved through faith. So we know that we got to have faith toward God, faith to resist the devil, faith to overcome the challenges, watch this, and faith to even get saved. But it comes by hearing. So now think about it. If you were the devil, and every Christian going to get their knees through the word, you remember what Jesus said? Man should not live by bread alone. So you can spend all your time trying to get bread. Right. We go to college trying to get bread. We go to school trying to get bread. We go to jobs trying to get bread. And so we're spending all our time to get some bread. But the Bible said we can't live by the bread alone. Bible says we live by the word of God. So if I was the devil, I want to separate you too. So I'll do everything that I can to take it. Okay. Now, got one more question. How? How does he do it? How? You getting anything out of this?
Yes.
How does he do it? How does he separate the word? Well, now you know the devil don't walk up. Come on up here. You know the devil doesn't. The devil's just not going to walk up here and say, listen, I'm going to take the Bible from you. I heard what Pastor Mike said to y'all, so I'm just going to walk up here and take the Bible from y'all. Well, now the devil's smarter than that.
Yeah.
Well, how does he do it? He uses three things. Complexity, closed-mindedness, covertness. Thank you. He uses what?
Complexity.
Closed-mindedness. Okay, we got about 5 minutes, and we can do it in 5 minutes. Listen at this. He uses complexity. Put up the text, and this is the last text we're going to look at. I'll quote the rest of the way. Okay, complexity. Remember I said that this parable is in Matthew 13, Luke 8, Mark 4. The reason why you want to look in each area, because there's little smidges of insight in other texts that may not be in Mark 4. So Matthew 13, same parable. He interprets it this way, the wayside hearer. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and what?
Understandeth it not.
Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth the way. So he uses complexity. Complexity. See, when I was a kid, and I used to go to church all the time, man. I stayed in church all the time. My pastor loved me, and a good man. He helped me in ministry, too. But he was a very educated man. He was self-taught. I mean, he was self-taught. He used to use them big old words, you know. I'd be sitting there. I'd be so mad. I'd be just, I don't understand what that dude's saying, man. I'm sitting there. I don't understand what that dude's saying. I get so frustrated, man. Come on now. I don't know what the ecosystem of the supernatural, the national dosa, the consequential apparatus of the theological movement. And I'm thinking, what? So what Satan wants, he wants it to be so complex that you don't understand it. So even if you go to church every week and don't understand it, it's no different than not going to church. Does that make sense to you? So when I got called into ministry, I prepared my sermons out of little kids' books. Wow. I would go to the library and I would get the kids' books and I would read it because I wanted to tell the story in a way that folk could understand it. So I worked real hard for people to understand because Satan don't want you to understand.
That's good.
Because see, if you don't understand, you can't operate on it. Anybody sit in a class, you know my cost accounting class, right? I sit in that cost accounting class in college. I was like this. I was kind of like, what am I doing in here? I mean, you know, clock was right up on the wall, and the person was talking. I was like, I understand what they were talking about in that cost accounting class. I was like, oh, Jesus, come on now. That's the way some Christians are in church. They don't understand nothing. And go to church every week. That's why God placed teachers in the church. That's why I came to Columbus. God sent me to Columbus. I'm serious, for real. I'm serious. God sent me to Columbus to teach you. And if you give me enough time, you will grow. Ain't no doubt about it. And you're going to learn to say at least one thing. I promise you're gonna leave here and say, at least I understood he tried to take that Bible. I ain't understand nothing else he said, but I know what? I know the devil tried to take that Bible, right? Okay, so if you got that, you got some. Complexity, say complexity. That's why if you're any kind of communicator, don't try to be deep. People like deep. They don't learn them from deep. Ooh, and that deep in church. Ooh, that was so deep. What did he say? I don't know what he said. All I know, it was deep. See, Christians like that kind of stuff. They like that kind of stuff. So if you're a communicator, remember this. If you're a communicator, stay simple. Stay very simple. Don't be deep. Don't be using all them kind of words that you're the only person know what it means. Okay? I read a book, I read all the time. I read a book on the way to D.C. last week. Well, that first book was so deep. I was like, oh, God. It was good, but it was deep. If I throw that book out there, you say, listen, I ain't reading that book. You probably read the first chapter. I ain't reading that book because I had to pray through it.
Right.
Good. Complexity. Consider complexity. Closed-mindedness is the second way he steals the word. Closed-minded. When the seed fell on the wayside, you ever seen a patch of, maybe in your backyard, or when I was growing up, we had a baseball park, okay? It was pretty in the outfield, pretty infield ground, but over the course of time, people in the community will walk through the park to the next, rather than going around the park, they walk through, and over a period of time, it was a patch. It was hardened. They kept walking, and all of a sudden, you see the dirt through the grass, and it was hard. He said the seed fell down on the wayside. It was where it had been trodden, so it couldn't germinate because it couldn't get inside the soil. Does that make sense to you? And what he's referencing there is a closed mind.
Wow.
Satan steals a word from some Christians because their minds are closed.
Wow.
Now, listen at this, and it ain't going to take me but a minute to get through it. How do Christians get to a place where their minds are closed? Sometimes it's closed by religious teaching and training.
For example, some Christians think tongues, speaking in tongues, is of the devil. The only reason they think that is because they were taught that in church. They taught that in church. Some Christians, they don't believe in tithing. Why? Because they were taught that in church. So what happens, sometimes our religious training will close our mind. Sometimes people get hurt. Somebody hurt them in church and they get all messed up and they don't want to hear nobody else. Sometimes they're closed through abuse, authority abuse. Sometimes pastors are abusive. Sometimes we're abusive. Sometimes leaders are abusive. So here I am. You trust me. Okay, you trust me, and I'm trying to run through you. See, you understand? Do I have to make that plainer? You do understand it, don't you? Y'all looking like y'all understand it. Okay, let me flip. Okay, I'm the pastor. You submit to me, and I'm having sex with all the girls in church. Okay, that's abuse. So you're sitting there, Christian. You love God. You're trying to walk with God. And now I'm taking authority. I'm abusing my place. So you don't want to hear nobody else. See, you gave God a shot, and the pastor ran through the church. So you got hurt. See, you got abused. So now you got Christians. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to hear nobody. So even though they still need the word, they don't want to hear it because they got abused somewhere. Sometimes people just have bad experiences in church, bad experiences. And sometimes they see carnal Christians. They see people in church saying this and hallelujah and all that, but they see them doing everything out in the world. So they say, man, wow, I'm not going down to that church, man. They're a bunch of hypocrites. So Satan used all these things to get people to close their hearts because he don't care. All he wants you to is not receive it. Does that make sense to you? And then finally, covertness. Say covertness. Anybody know what covertness mean? Covert. As opposed to overt? Huh. Okay, let me give you a hint. Clandestine. Look at that big word. Look at that. You're the big job. I told you I'm educated. You're the big clandestine. Okay, subtle. In other words, use another word, camouflage. Okay, stand up. Covertness simply means, watch this. Watch this, and I'm gonna finish. Watch this. Covertness means I can't come straight at you because you can see me. So I have to camouflage myself. Camouflage simply means in spiritual warfare, you put on clothing that blend with the terrain. That's why in the military, they don't wear light purple colors. You know what? They wear those kind of colors that blend with the trees. So that they can kind of sneak in on the enemy. That's the way Satan does. He doesn't just come up to you like this because you would recognize him. That's right. You said, that's the devil right there. No. So he has to hide himself. Wow. Okay. Now watch this. Since I'm running out of time, I'll just tell you. Watch this. When we read the text, watch this. When you read Mark 4, watch this now. Satan is mentioned one time. But then the Bible talks about the stony ground, thorny ground. It talks about afflictions, persecutions, offense. It talks about the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, and Satan is never mentioned again. Because now he's got to blend himself. So he's taking the word, but we don't know it. Because he's blending himself in our circumstances. That's why Job says, now Satan was killing him. And Job said, the Lord gave. The Lord has taken away. Why? Because Satan had blended himself into his environment. So he comes to you in your environment. He comes through people. He comes through situations. He comes through circumstance. And he blends himself in because he can't just walk up to you because you would recognize him. So he used covert strategies and tactics. In other words, he blend himself into circumstances. He works through people, but he hides. He works through pressures, but he hides. He works through offense, but he hides. Because he doesn't want you to see him. So he uses complexity, closed-mindedness, and covert activities. Does that make sense to you? Did that make sense? Now, when you get into the rest of the secrets, you're going to see how it all comes out. But right away, we know it's him. Because the scripture tells us at the beginning that it's him, and it tells us why he's coming to take the word from you. Does that make sense?
It does.
Does it make sense? So the first divine secret is to understand the nature, the true nature of spiritual warfare. Does that make sense? And if I ask you, what is the true nature of spiritual warfare, what would you say? Uh-oh, slow class over here. What would you say? What's the true nature of spiritual warfare? Satan's organized, purposeful, strategic plan to separate us from the word. Amen.